So when you walked in today, or if you looked at Instagram stories this week, I don't know if you follow me on Instagram. I'm not brokenhearted if you don't. Actually, I kind of am. You should. But on Instagram stories this week, I put up like a weight bench. And if you've ever been to a gym, like you, even if you made a New Year's resolution and you went in and signed up and you didn't go back, you've seen this. This is just a typical bench press, right? And if you're a man, you probably have had the conversation, how much can you bench? Now, I know that women aren't as interested in the bench press as men. In fact, women, I had a lady come up to me one time. She said, you're into fitness and stuff. I was wondering if I could get some fitness advice. I was like, I'll tell you what I can. She said, how do I get a thick booty? I was like, Kentucky Fried Chicken work for me, girl. I mean, give it a shot. I don't know. Krispy Kreme will help you too if you want. I don't know how to get a thick booty. Men, I've never heard a man go, I want a bubble butt. Like, I've never heard that. But we do talk about the bench press. Now, this is 135 pounds. How you get this is this: each plate is 45 pounds, and then the bar is 45 pounds. And this is 135 pounds. Now, if you're into working out, if you're just a novice person into working out, this is what you typically call a warm-up weight. This is just, you just use it to warm up, 135. And once you get a few reps in at 135, then you can start adding weight to the bench, the 135. And I got a little offended this week. Let me tell you why. Because I put out on Instagram, like, do you think I can lift this? And somebody said no. And I know you're in this service. So the only reason that I'm doing this is to prove you wrong, Karen. So I want to show you. Now, the reason I'm going to do this is not to show off, because nobody's going to be impressed with this. And if you are, you're impressed way too easily. But this is 135. This is 135 pounds. And this is just like, this is like a warm-up weight. Am I right? So, like, guys that work out, am I correct? This is a warm-up weight? Yes. Okay. So you got to get your, now if you're in the gym, you got to do it like the guys do it in the gym. They act like they kind of get the press and they go, you see some guys that kind of do this, some guys, whatever. So here's what I'm going to do. I need y'all to count down three. Are y'all impressed that I can speak like this? 3, 2, 1, go. And then I'm going to lift 135 pounds, and so many people are going to come to Jesus. It's going to be amazing. So here we go. Some of y'all are so nervous right now. I promise you, I think I can do this. Here we go. 3, 2, 1,
go.
Yeah! Notice my arm shaking a little bit, but you come down, you got to touch your chest. You got to touch your chest, right? Am I right so far? You got to touch your chest, and you just go back up with it. That's all you got to do. Now, 135 pounds. Now, this is just a warm-up weight. Some of y'all are like, how many times can you do it? I have no idea, and I'm not going to try in front of y'all. Because when I get stressed out working out, I say words that aren't in the Bible. But this represents the weight that all of us carry in life. Every single day that we wake up, we carry weight. Whether it's spiritual, emotional, psychological weight, everybody in this room is carrying a certain amount of weight. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. And the reason that's not a bad thing is because if you lift weights properly over an extended period of time, they make you stronger, correct? They make your muscles bigger. I don't know why I did this. I'm so uncomfortable right now. But they make your muscles bigger. Your muscles increase in size. And so when you put a muscle under the appropriate amount of stress over time, it actually grows stronger and develops. The problem is when we feel like we have too much weight on the bar. Because this is average. This is warm-up weight. But then, let's say you're going through life and you get married. Some of y'all are like, you better put some more weight on that, Pastor Bean. You get married and you have a kid. Now, this is 225. Some of y'all are like, you're going to try that? Nope. not gonna try it because I'm not done adding weight yet. Because not only did you have a kid, but then you had, you got some anxiety, and it's kind of stressing you out, and you don't really know how to deal with it. And then you get fired from a job, or you found out they're downsizing it where you work. Now this is 3:15. I have lifted this one time in my life over 30 years ago. I did the math. My wife, Shannon, was 2 when I lifted this. Don't bother me. Anyway, and then something else hits you. I mean, it just comes at you sideways, and you didn't expect it. And before you know it, you've got so much weight on the bar that you're not quite sure that you could do it. Let's give it a shot. Okay. Here we go. If you have a prayer life, right now would be a great time to start. I need y'all to give me a countdown. We're going to go 3, 2, 1. Are y'all ready for this? Y'all ready? All right. Listen, don't worry. Shh. I need you to pray. Don't be shouting at me because it stresses me out. I got to focus. I got to be focused. I got to be focused. Here we go. Y'all give me a countdown. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Ain't no freaking way. Ain't no way. That is 405 pounds. And some of y'all are like, I didn't really come to church to get a weight lesson this morning. And I agree. I'm going some. The reason so many people quit on their walk with Jesus, quit on their journey with God, walk away from church, quit in their battle with sobriety, quit. The reason so many people quit is because one day you wake up and you feel like you got this much weight on the bar and there's no way that you could press it. And so instead of figuring out a way, you quit. And listen, I get that in a way. I understand. In fact, I've kind of done that before. And I'm sure most people in this room have as well. But let me make you a promise. Before this service is over, I will press that 5 times. Some of y'all waiting for the punchline and there's not one. I'm going to press it 5 times. Let me pull this table right here. Put my bottle of water. Some of y'all are like, if you think you're going to press that 5 times, somebody better check and make sure that's water because I think he might be. So anyway, here's the main thing I want to teach, and I promise I'm going to circle back to the bench in just a little while. Here's the main thing I want to teach today. If you're going to walk away with anything, by the way, we're going to fill in these blanks in the outline, and then it's going to seem like for about 10 minutes I forgot the outline. I promise you, for all you type A people, you got to get those blanks filled in. I have not forgotten. It's just going to take me a minute to get back to the rest of the blanks. Are we good? Okay, you better be, because I worked hard to figure out those blanks this week. Here we go. Here we go. The main thing I want to teach today is God's power plus God's people equals winning the war against worry. God's power plus God's people equals winning the war against worry. And you got to have both. Because some people, and I always say this, but I want to say it again. I want to say it every time I get an opportunity because I want to talk to the person out there. Maybe you're in the room or maybe you're watching online going, I don't need the church. All I need is Jesus. It's just me and Jesus. Well, I'm glad you're that righteous, but not even Jesus was enough for Jesus. Because Jesus, the night he was crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't go off and pray by himself. The Bible says he took Peter and James and John and said, please come and pray with me. My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. So if Jesus wasn't enough for Jesus, then how can Jesus be enough for you? It takes God's power, which when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, he gives us power to like overcome anything. But when you take God's power and you add it with God's people, we can overcome anything that this world or the enemy throws our way. It doesn't matter what it is. I always tell people, this ain't a me thing, it's a we thing. And by myself, I can be overwhelmed. But together, nothing can overwhelm us. And that's where we're gonna go to this story in Daniel. Daniel chapter 2 is where we're going. Last week, we were in chapter 3. Ryan is on vacation this week with his family. It's his birthday today. He's like 12, I'm not sure how old Ryan is. But no, he's 33, because he's the age of Jesus when he died. That's kind of morbid. But anyway, I wanted him to be here last week when we did the message on worship. And so we're going back to chapter 2 this week, and we're going to talk about a story that I had never heard this story ever ever taught on. And the first time I taught on it was like 10 years ago. But anyway, this is kind of fun. Watch this. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. One night, during the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar, remember we said Nebuchadnezzar was the king. He was the ruler of Babylon. They had invaded Judah. All this bad stuff had taken place. Last week, he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, then called them out. It was crazy. If you missed last week, you can go watch it on the YouTubes. It's there. Nebuchadnezzar had such a disturbing dreams that he couldn't sleep. Now, have you ever had a dream that was so real that when you woke up, you had to like get like it was super weird? Now, some people, they just have weird dreams. It was so funny because preparing for this message this week, I had told Shannon about this, and I was like, I just haven't had a weird dream in a long time, and I feel like God went, I can help you with that. So like 3 nights ago, I've never watched The Walking Dead, so I'm watching The Walking Dead right now. This plays into it. And I dreamed that Shannon and I were face-to-face yelling at each other. We were just mad, we were angry, and we were yelling. And so she turned into a zombie. And I was like, oh no, you not turn into it. So I turned into one too, and we're yelling, our faces are melting. And I woke up because it was so real. She's sleeping, and I'm like, the next morning she woke up, I was like, are we good? Are we good? Have you been bit by anybody lately? It was so real. And that's what happened to this king. Now, back in these days, the kings and the leaders, they believed that God spoke to them primarily through dreams because they couldn't, you know, download a Bible app. They couldn't go buy a Bible. So they believed. Now, I believe that God does speak through dreams. I don't think every dream is God trying to speak to us. I believe God primarily speaks through his word, but God has spoken to me before in dreams. I'll do a message on that. Anyway, let's get back to the message. So Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. He couldn't sleep. So what does he do? He called in his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. And he demanded, now watch this, because this is real easy to skip over. In fact, I missed it for a couple years when I would read this. And he demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed as they stood before the king. Now, here's how this typically worked. They would come in, the king would say, this is what I dreamed, and then they would give him an interpretation, which I feel like I could do that job. I mean, I could just make something up on the spot, right? This is what I think most of them did. And I think King Nebuchadnezzar was into that. So he went, you know what? I know y'all are making stuff up. So if y'all are really good at what you're doing, tell me what I dreamed. And they proceeded to mess their pants because this was an impossible situation. And they were completely out of control. Now, you know something I know about every single person in this room? We hate to feel out of control. Am I correct? Any control freaks would just raise your hand. See, most of the control freaks were like, no, I'm not raising my hand. You cannot make me raise my hand. I realize how when I'm out of control, I freak out. I was on an airplane flight, and if you want to feel out of control, get on an airplane and stay on one for long enough. I promise you, we were circling Chicago Airport, and I've flown long enough to be like, we have circled Chicago 408. Why are we circling? All of a sudden, the pilot comes on. You ever been on the airplane? You know the pilot. They have to talk in that real cool low voice, and it's like,
this is your pilot speaking. We seem to be having some problems with the landing gear. The light indicates that it's not on, but the control tower has assured us that they believe it is, so we're going to start our descent.
And I was like, you believe the landing gear? Y'all, there were no atheists on that airplane. I'm not even Catholic, but I just started doing this just to make sure. I was. And in that moment, I realized I am so not in control. And then I realized this. Control is the greatest illusion in the universe. We're not in control because, isn't it? If you've ever experienced this kind of weight in your life, you didn't see it coming, did you? See, 405 hits us out of nowhere. 405 blindsides us. 405 is meant to crush and overwhelm us if we don't handle it properly. And this is what these guys, the king's saying, you tell me what I dreamed. And it's about to get very intense and very real. Watch this. He said, I've had a dream that deeply troubles me, and I must know what it means. Now watch this. Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, long live the king. Which is, like we said last week, they didn't mean it. It's just something you had to say it. Tell us the dream, and we will tell you what it means. And they were basically saying, you silly king, you. Nobody does that. And maybe they're thinking, I don't know. Like, if I walk into a situation early in the morning and I haven't had at least 2 cups of coffee, I don't know what's happening around me. In fact, if you and I ever have a conversation at some point early in the morning and I haven't had a couple cups of coffee, we'll go ahead and apologize for anything I say or anything I do. Because some people are morning people. They wake up and they're like, oh my gosh, it's the morning and the sun is shining and it's bright outside and I'm so happy. And there's others of us that want to go, like that's like we are not that person. And so maybe these guys are like, okay, maybe we didn't hear him right because I think he said, tell us the, no, he didn't say that. Well, somebody, okay, just, King, just tell us the dream and we'll tell you what it means. And it gets even more real, watch this. But the king said to the astrologers, I'm serious about this. If you don't tell me what my dream was and what it means, you will be torn limb from limb and your houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. Okay, can we all agree that Nebuchadnezzar has lost his freaking mind? Yes or no? I can't even imagine what it would be like to live in a nation where the leader has lost his mind. Just throwing that out there hypothetically. Now, torn limb from limb, this is not just a statement. They literally had this thing where they would put you down, they would tie this arm to one horse, tie this arm to another horse, tie this leg to one horse, so you had 4 horses, you would make the horses run in the opposite directions at the same time, and they would literally rip your arms and legs off your body. And I'm just gonna say, when I die, I'm not trying to die like that. I told somebody the other day, if I ever go out, I wanna go out with a lightning strike, I wanna go out with a nuclear missile landing on my head. If I did survive The Walking Dead, I would just run in and let them all eat me. I mean, they're gonna get a feast and I don't have to put up with that. But being torn limb from limb, can we all say that would just be a bad day? Can we all agree that's like 405? Plus another 405. And then he said this, and your houses will be turned into heaps of rubble, which on the surface you're like, well, screw the house. I'm more concerned about my arms and legs getting ripped off my body. But basically what he's saying here is I'm gonna kill you and I'm gonna kill your family. This is some serious stuff. I mean, you think your job's bad, these guys. So then he said, but if you tell me what I dreamed and what the dream means, I will give you many wonderful gifts and honors. Just tell me what the dream means. And you're like, well, that's trying to like make, that would be equivalent to me saying, listen, come up on this stage, stand right here flat-footed, jump and touch the ceiling. If you don't, I'm going to kill you. But if you do, I'll give you millions of dollars. Nobody's like, all right, I'll give it a shot. Like, it's impossible. What the king's asking for is impossible. And he tries to throw this in because the enemy's always trying to, like, it's not that bad. That's what he's trying to say. Watch this. They said again, please, your majesty, tell us the dream. You see a theme here? They're like, I mean, seriously, dude, tell us the dream and we will tell you what it means. They are in what you call denial. And there are some people today that this is the weight you're facing in life. But you're like, it's not happening. And I know all about denial. Listen, once you turn 50, you learn how to deny everything. 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, I don't run on Sundays, I used to run, but now I do a brisk uphill walk. It gets my blood flowing, I feel pretty good, but toward the end of my walk, I don't know what I did, I wasn't walking fast, I felt something in my hamstring, kind of tweaked my hamstring a little bit, and it was weird. And so for the rest of the day, like, you go back and look 2 weeks ago, I was limping a little bit, and somebody even asked, you okay, what are you limping for? I'm like, why are you limping? Why we gotta talk about my limp? Why can't we do it? Just judge my limp? I'm trying to learn how to walk with Jesus. And anyway, I denied all day that anything was wrong. By the way, if you're over 50, you remember when we used to ride our bicycles all day long and never got sore? Never hurt anything? You would swim all day, never got sore? And once you turn 50, you can get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and break both ankles. And you don't even know. So the next morning, I decided to go for a run. But my hamstring was like, no, we're not. And I'm like, no, we're going. And it said, no, we're not. And then I got on the treadmill, hit the run. 20 seconds in, I agreed with my hamstring because it sent a pain from my hamstring, shot all the way up my rear end, all the way up my back, finished right here. And I said, you know what? I can't deny this anymore. And the reason I bring that up is because there are some people, this is your phrase. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. It's not a big deal. I can quit anytime I want. And we say that because we're trying to deny the fact that we know we can't lift that on our own, but we don't know what to do. So they pushed back and they said, you're being crazy, man. Just tell us what the dream means. Watch this. The king replied, I know what you're doing. You're stalling for time because you know I am serious when I say, if you don't tell me the dream, you are doomed. So you have conspired to tell me lies, hoping I will change my mind. And if you're one of the astrologers, you're like, somebody's got to say something. Somebody's got to tell him. Who's going to tell him? You going to tell him? I don't know. And there was this one guy. There's always that one guy that will speak up. It's like, I'll say something. And then this is where it gets really bad. The astrologers replied to the king, no one on earth can tell the king his dream. Now notice the exclamation point. They're yelling at the king. Now, we have freedom of speech here in America. We can say whatever we want to say. We don't have to worry about stuff. In this culture, you didn't have that. If you said something like this, you were going to be killed. There are consequences for stuff that we say. Now, I don't know if this illustration will carry. I'll just share it. When I was growing up, you did not disrespect your mother or your father, and especially in public. So I remember being at Bilo one time. I was like 5 or 6 years old at Bilo. And you know how they put that candy right there next to the cashier so parents can learn how to beat your children? I mean, that's why they did it. So I remember one day, I just made this up in my mind. So we went through the checkout. My mom was getting stuff, and I grabbed a Snickers bar. I just grabbed a Snickers bar, and I put it up on the plate. And she said, you can't have that. And this is what ran through my mind. So I just said it. I looked at my mom, and I said, you can't tell me what to do. And that day changed my life because But listen, it wasn't like today where they take you into a corner and they talk to you about your thoughts and feelings. Back in 1978, they would beat you in public. And I felt like she tagged in and another couple of adults just got in it, got on the action too. It was insane. But you know what? I learned not to talk to my mama that way. It was just that thing that I learned. But these guys, they knew that too. You didn't talk to the king, but they had gotten so much. They exploded in anger on the king because the king was trying to put so much weight. And they said, no one on earth can tell the king his dream. And no king, this is super bad, no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. In other words, no good king would ask this. And all the other kings that have been before you, they're better than you, which is not something that Nebuchadnezzar, he was psycho. This is not something he wanted to hear. So there were some consequences. The king's demand is impossible. Oh, yeah. No one except the gods can tell you your dream. And I don't know if you've seen this, Nebuchadnezzar, but ain't none of them walking around right now. They are going off on this guy, and it's about to go not so good for them. The king was furious when he heard this, and he ordered that all the wise men of Babylon be executed. Bit extreme? He was just like, okay. We killing everybody. I mean, isn't this insane? The king said, because of the way you just spoke to me, I'm killing all the wise men of Babylon. And that's where we come to our friend Daniel, who wasn't even there. Check this out. And because of the king's decree, men were sent to find and kill Daniel and his friends. You ever been blamed for something you didn't do? We don't know where Daniel was. Daniel's probably at Chipotle, right? Trying to get him some food. Anybody, any Chipotle people? You just love Chipotle? You love, you know, I have tried my best to love Chipotle, and I can't. And the reason I can't love Chipotle is because after I eat Chipotle, I have to Chipotle. And it's all these people talking about this cleanse. All I got to do is eat at Chipotle. But maybe Daniel's standing there trying to just figure out what he's going to get. And the commander comes in to kill Daniel. And he's just standing there. And the commander's name is Arioch. And what we see it in this next verse. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. So Daniel's, you know, he's standing in line, and he sees Arioch come in. He's like, Arioch, what's up, man? How's your mom and them? Southern Babylon. How's your mom and them? And Arioch said, they're great. So I got some bad news, and I got some worse news. Daniel was like, okay, give me the bad news. I'm here to kill you. Okay, is there worse news? Yes, we're going to do that horse thing where we tie them to the limb to just pull you apart. Daniel's like, yeah, that's pretty bad. Can you imagine finding out that you're going to be executed for something you didn't do? Can we agree? That's a lot of weight. But if you're a leader, watch this. This is where I hope I get to one day, because sometimes I don't handle stressful situations very well, and I would classify this as a stressful situation. But this is how you know that God was doing a work in Daniel, because we're told in the scripture that Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. He didn't go off. He didn't scream. He didn't like take a toothpick like John Wick and start killing everybody in there. I'm killing everybody. He didn't. No, let me show you what it means. No, he just said, hold on. Okay, I understand. He's upset. Watch how bold Daniel gets. Watch this. He asked Arioch, why has the king issued such a harsh decree? Listen, I understand you got to kill some people, but before you kill me, I would just love to know why. So Arioch told him all that happened. Watch this. And Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king what the dream meant. Bold move. Yeah. Daniel went, okay. I haven't had a shot. Those other guys, they might have blown it, but let me go to the king. Now, we said in week one of this series that Daniel had 10 times the wisdom and the favor, and so he goes in front of the king and says, listen, I understand you're getting ready to kill everybody, and whew, I mean, I can't even imagine the pressure on you, but if you could give me just a little bit more time, I think I can figure this out. And we don't know why, other than the power of God working behind the scenes, because God really does control everything and everyone. And so Daniel got some more time, which we would all consider to be a good thing, right? Unless you got to tell somebody what they dreamed. I would need some more time to plan my escape, but watch this. Then Daniel went home and told his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah what had happened. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't miss this. Daniel didn't go home by himself and go, oh God, tell me. Daniel went to his friends, three friends. And he said, guys, I need your help. I need your help. I can't do this by myself. Now, Daniel is a Bible hero. Daniel is a name that we choose for some of our children. And yet here we got one of the strongest men in the entire Bible saying, I can't do this by myself. And he leaned in to three friends. You don't need a lot, just three. And he asked for help. And any of us can do that. But the reason that the enemy don't want us in church is because this is the place where we can find the most help. Not always, I'll get to that in just a second. He urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. Daniel went to his friends and said, guys, I need your help. Now, when it comes to friends, here we are. We're gonna fill in those blanks. I got back to it. I told you, yeah, I see y'all moving right now. Man, there's more movement in this house. I love it. There's four types of friends that we got in the church, okay? Now, when I say some of these, don't point at anybody. Just kind of write it down and think about it for a second. The first type of friend is the superior friend. And please notice I have superior in quotes. This is the friend you can't tell. You can't tell them what you're struggling with. And here's why you can't tell them what you're struggling with. They'll tell you that you're ungodly for struggling with it. In fact, if you go to them and you say, man, I got this much weight on my bar, I got 405 on my bar, and I can't lift it, and I know that some of this is my fault, and I don't know what to do, by the time you're done talking with them, you'll have 30, 40, 50 more pounds on the bar, because they'll go, well, you need to start praying and read your Bible more, and you need to quit. I mean, you just feel beat up after a conversation with them, because they're superior. By the way, let me tell you something about these type of people that I've learned in being church work for over 30 years. Anybody that comes off as superior and super godly all the time is always hiding something. I just leave it there. Second type of friend is the superficial friend. These are the people that are always fine. How you doing, fine? How you doing, fine? Fine stands for frustrated, insecure, negative, and evasive. That's what it means, fine. That's what I am. I'm frustrated, insecure, negative, and evasive. How are you? I'm fine. And they're your friend as long as your life is going okay, but you let it hit the fan and watch how fast these people scatter. You want to know who your friends are? Walk through hell. Walk through hell. I see a lot of head nods because a lot of people, you've been through this. You thought somebody was your friend. And then you went through something and you wish you wouldn't have gone through it, but they turn their back on you and abandon you. And listen, if that's you and you've been hurt, I get it. But just because somebody treated you that way in the church doesn't mean everybody in the church is like that. And the third type of friend, this is my favorite, this is the slanderous friend. You can't tell them anything because you know it's gonna get out to everybody. But you tell them, hey, listen, this is what I'm going through, and they're just going to go tell everybody. A buddy of mine was pastor in church, and he had this lady in his church that every gossip type thing, he traced it back to her. True story. So he called, this is back in the day when you would call somebody in your office. He had a little office he called. He said, let's just say her name was Jennifer. I'm wondering her name, but I'm just making that up. If your name's Jennifer, sorry about this if it triggered you. Hopefully we can find you a safe space immediately following the service and get you a spirit animal and you'll be okay. Anyway, I don't know. God. Anyway, he called her in. He said, Jennifer, I'm noticing that a bunch of gossip has been traced back to you. And she said, Pastor, I don't know what it is about me, but people just bring me all their negative stuff. And he said, what if I could help you figure out what that is? She said, oh, I would love that. He said, Jennifer, have you ever played golf? She said, no, but my husband has. He said, so you know what a golf green is, right? She said, oh, yeah. You know how nice and manicured and beautiful a golf green is? She said, yeah. He said, let me ask you another question. You ever been to a garbage dump? She said, yeah. She said, what's the difference between the golf green and the garbage dump? She said, well, nobody would put their trash on the golf green. He said, exactly. Jennifer, you're a garbage dump. Because if you were a golf green, people wouldn't bring their trash to you. So if you're that person that somebody's always bringing the negative stuff to, check your heart. True story, really happened. She left the church, it's fine, they survived. And then the fourth type of friend is the supernatural friend. Now when I say supernatural, I'm not talking about like they got like powers where they can just lift their hands and lightning bolts fly from there. I'm just talking about these are the people that no matter what you're going through, they're going to walk with you. They have Jesus in their life and they're not perfect. Listen, some of the strongest people I know are the quickest people to admit that they're not perfect. That's what I love about our church. You don't have to pretend you're perfect to walk in here. We've even got a bail fund set aside. A lot of people have benevolence. We have a bail fund, okay? Bail, like getting you out of jail, bail, okay, never mind. The reason I love this story is because the Bible says that night the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven, and he went on to go into the king's chambers, tell the king what he dreamed and what it meant, and they ultimately all got promoted again in Babylon. Now let me tell you why this is so powerful. Because in this story, we see a principle in the scripture that is actually ties into one of our staff's core values. One of our staff core values says 1/1,000, 2/10,000. And I'll show you where I got that from. Deuteronomy chapter 32 says this. How could one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight? Now pause for a second there. Because I know I went to public school, but I know enough math to know if one person can put 1,000, then it would seem like two can put 2,000, correct? But see, God doesn't do addition, he does multiplication. He said, by yourself, with the power of God, you could put 1,000 to flight, but when the power of God and the people of God get together, you're 10 times stronger. And you can lift the weight. The thing that was meant to crush you will actually become your testimony, because God's power plus God's people equals winning the war against worry. I don't have to worry as long as I know I got people willing to walk with me through what I'm going through. So here's the question I'm gonna ask, and then told you I was gonna press it, so I'm gonna press it with a slight twist. Here's the question I want everybody to ask. What area of my life do I need to put my pride aside and actually ask for help? It's a great question. It's a very fair question, because pride keeps a lot of people grounded in their walk with Jesus. Pride is actually the sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven and get us a cut in the line to hell. So what area of your life do you need to put your pride aside and actually ask for help? You know how I've been able to overcome everything that's been thrown my way, my 52 years on this earth? God's power plus God's people. If you take good people, but you don't have God's power, I can't lift it. If you take God's power, but you don't have God's people, I can't lift it. But with God's power and God's people, what was impossible for me, well, it actually becomes easy. I'll show y'all this. Let's say I just got some people involved in my life. I just got some people to come out, help me out a little bit, move this around. Cole, what's up, man? How you doing? How's your mom and them? Greg. Bree. Why are you looking at me like that? See, God can use angry people for his glory. How you doing? How old are you, Bree? 16. You dating somebody? You are dating somebody. He's here. He's in the service. He is. He's got his shoulder still messed up. That's why I didn't get him, because he couldn't. You're stronger than him right now. You're stronger than him just naturally, though, aren't you? Yeah, okay. Trying not to make her mad. She's angry right now. Bree, tell us about your walk with the Lord. I'm kidding. I'm getting on with it. So here's the deal. So Greg and Cole, these are a couple guys. Bree's a teenage girl. And by myself, I couldn't lift this. But us working together, piece of cake. In fact, y'all give us a countdown. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. See, in Christ, what was impossible not only becomes possible, but it becomes easy. Like, I can sit here. I could do this all day. I could do this all day. I could do this all day. I could do this all day, because it's not about me. It's about we. What I can't do, we can do. It's just, are you willing? Yeah. Are you willing to put your pride aside and ask for help? Because if not, that weight could crush you. But with help, you can crush anything coming against you. So let's pray. Father, I want to ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would fill all of us with the courage that we need to do what you've called us to do. I know there are people in this room that feel, God, they feel that 405 pressing in on them. And God, I thank you that you are greater and that you're stronger. And God, that your people plus your power equal victory. So right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed all over this room, if you feel like you've got that weight on you and it's about to crush you and you just need someone to pray for you today, maybe that's the reason you got brought to this house today, is you just need someone to pray for you. Listen, you don't have to say what it is. You don't have to say a word. But if that's you today, that's you, you need to put your pride aside and ask for help. I want you to stand to your feet right now. I just want you to stand up. Don't look around and see if anybody's going to do it. Just do it. Just do it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. If you are that person that feels like there's so much weight on that bar, you're getting crushed by it, you just need someone to pray for you today, I want you to stand up. Remain standing. Remain standing. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Put your pride aside and ask for help. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. There are people standing all over this room, so let's go. Let's keep going. Come on, let's go. Let's go. I want if that's you, if God's speaking to your heart, I don't want you to miss this opportunity today. I want you to stand up. I want you to see what it's like for God's power and God's people to work together. Yeah, that's right. Keep on standing. Let's go. I'll keep this open. As long as people keep standing, I'll keep this open. Let's go. Let's go. And amen. Anybody else? I don't want you to miss this. Everybody that's standing up, do me a favor. Look up, and if there's somebody standing around you or somebody standing next to you, I want you to stand up. I just want you to put your hand on their shoulder. I want everybody that stood to have somebody with them right now. Nobody standing alone. Make sure everybody. So if somebody stood next to you, get up. I don't know this person. That's why we're the church. We don't know each other, but God knows us all. So I want everybody that stood to have somebody with them right now. Everybody that stood, have somebody with them. And right now, I want you to pray for that person. Pray for them right now. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray silently. You can pray out loud. Ask God to strengthen them. Ask God to help them. Ask God to empower them. Ask God to fill them with His Spirit. Ask God to do a miracle work in them. Pray that they would overcome whatever they're facing. Just ask God to do. Ask God to bless them in a special way. God, I thank you today for your power. I thank you for these people. I thank you for every single person that stood today. God, may they know today, God, may we know that your power plus your people equals victory every single time. As we're getting ready to close in prayer, would everybody stand? Father, I want to thank you today for everybody in this house. God, I know this message hits us and affects us differently, so I want to pray, Jesus, today that you would take this word and you would put it in our hearts so deep, God, that we would think about it this week and reflect on it. And right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you've never prayed to receive Jesus. So God's power isn't something that's real because you've never asked Jesus to come into your life. And today, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to ask Him to come into your life to save you, to change you. You want to become a follower of Him. And if that's you today, right where you stand, listen, He died on the cross, paid for our sins, rose from the grave, empowers us to live a life that is immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. So if you're here today and you want to pray to give your life to Christ, I want to lead you in a prayer from this stage, and I want you to pray it out loud. I'm going to lead you in the prayer and you pray it back out loud, but not alone, because our entire Second Chance family, we're going to pray this with you. We do it every single week, so you'll know you're stepping into a relationship with Jesus supported by everybody in this room. So y'all pray with me. Just say, Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and you rose from the grave to pay for my sin. And right now, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, right now, if you just prayed that prayer and you just asked Christ to come in your life before you leave today, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. So do me a favor, if you just prayed that prayer, and hold your hand up in the air. Just hold it up high because I want to see it. Hold it up high, real high, real high, real high. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep them up, keep them up. Wow. Thank you. Making sure. Amen. Wow. Jesus. Thank you so much, God, for your saving power today. Thank you so much. I pray that every single person with a hand raised as they leave this place today would walk out filled with hope, filled with a peace that passes all understanding. Joy and light they've never had. And if you're here today and you stood up and you need someone to pray with you or for you today as you walk out today, you can hang a left and we got care team volunteers that would love to pray with you and for you. If you feel like, you know what, I need to talk to somebody right now. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for victory. We thank you that your power through us and your people around us give us victory over anything the world throws our way, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Me too. I'll see y'all next week for Time Change Weekend.